NVIDIA has announced that all GeForce Now customers will have a 100-hour per month streaming limit. Plus, a new year approaches. What are you looking forward to? Tonight is December 28th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next.
Okay,
I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, it's me. Back again one more time in 2025. Last show of the year until we get to 2026. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the last 2025 edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you so much. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, except next week. Won't be here next week. I'll explain why in just a second. But if this is a podcast, so if you're listening on the podcast feed, feel free to join our Discord server. Vognetwork.com/Discord. Doesn't move that fast. We don't ping you, stuff like that. So it's a very easy Discord server to be in. Come join us there and talk about maybe what games you got. As to share one or Matt actually asked in chat, what games did everybody get this week? I wound up getting a whole bunch of Switch $20 gift cards from my cats and my wife, just about enough to buy a new game. I got four $20 cards, which, as you know, is one game nowadays, or a bunch of great indie games. I did get a lot of stuff in the Steam Winter Sale. A lot of the stuff that I had on my wish list did get a little bit discounted, and knowing that probably with the Steam Machine coming out in 2026, one of the big things I'm looking forward to, I might be actually playing more games on the Steam ecosystem, because I do like playing games not in this office. After being in this chair all day at work, it is kind of hard sometimes to play PC games, which is what I have on Steam. It is kind of hard to play them here, and I've got the Sunshine and Moonlight streaming service, which is what people kind of use now to, you know, I can go down and I can play Steam games on my Xbox by streaming them from my PC up here, but it's not going to be, it doesn't work as seamlessly. It's still over the network. It's still streaming, and stuff like that. So, but I did actually wind up starting to play a game that, I was really looking forward to in 2024. Then reviews came out and it's fine. I did get it up, The Plucky Squire, if you remember that game. And, a lot of the reviews were like, yeah, it's not as good as the concept. Like, it doesn't live up to what the trailer made it seem out to be. So The Plucky Squire, it's an indie game. It's actually, like, I think the producer for it used to be one of the producers of Pokemon. He came from Game Freak. And he, so it's very much, it's a great game for, like, a child, you know, a younger person to kind of learn the ropes and the strategy of these puzzle games and these, you know, action games. But it's very simplistic in that sense, but it is the game that takes place in a storybook, and then you actually jump out of the storybook and you're in the 3D world of the kid's table, and you're jumping around and you know, you're using that to turn the pages of the book, because sometimes you've got to go back to a previous page to get something that solves the puzzle on the current page, and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting concept. I'm a couple hours into it. I think I'm like four chapters in. And I'm kind of seeing the patterns of it. There is a forced stealth section pretty early on, but it was like less than 2 minutes long, and I haven't had to do it again. So that's its one strike. And I've played through it a little bit, and maybe it'll be a game that I play great on the Steam Deck when I do get a Steam Deck sometime next year once I really fully get into the Steam English system. Mike Def says, yeah, James Turner did the art for the game, also worked for Game Freak designing some of the Pokemon. So, yeah, this is... But this game holds your hand a whole lot and, like, actually telegraphs the puzzles before you can get a chance to think about the puzzles. Unlike this game that people have talked to, like, that's called Tunic, that doesn't tell you anything. You know, people have kind of compared the two, and that's what that is. There was a Cyberpunk 2077 mispriced deal on the Switch 2. A couple of people picked that up, and then Nintendo fixed it. And, yeah. So, and they're letting people who got the mispatent, the bad price, they're letting them keep the copies, but they fixed it for new people. So you can't get that, anymore. So looking in chat, what other people got, I also got, like some more expansions for my guilty pleasure PC VR game. But we won't talk about that here on the show. It's American Truck Simulator, but you know, it's very not a game that you would hear about on this show. But, Mike Def says, got Absalom and Fatal Fury, COTW, both very good games. Dark Sakura in chat, said that they bought Dan Hishu, same for Switch. Also it's still being delivered. And, got a digital code, a bunch of digital codes on Play Asia. So that's good. Dark Tetsuya. Got a Atari 2600 Plus and a few games. Treated himself to a bunch of PlayStation DDR imports. We didn't do a big Christmas here at my house just because we did a big trip to Orlando, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, went to, like, all the theme parks and stuff. And so that's a lot of money. So we didn't really spend all that much money on each other. That's why, like, I don't have, like, much of a haul to talk about, which, you know, I prefer the experiences myself. SJR Nomad got Final Fantasy Tactics Ivalice Chronicles and Pokemon ZNA. I already had Ivalice Chronicles. That's the other thing. It's like, if I really want a game, I buy it. I don't wait until December to get it. So, you know, my wife's like, I can't buy you any games because if you want it, you already have it. I'm like, yeah, I'm that person. So where am I going to be next week? So there is not going to be a show here on the stream on the 4th of January, which is next Sunday, because I am going to be up in Pittsburgh. I am going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for Awesome Games Done Quick 2026. I am going to be hosting on Monday night and Thursday night, starting at roughly 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, Mario Kart World, all ? Panels. And then right after that, Jack 3, No Out of Bounds Restricted Race with Nintendo versus Zyfels. And then after that, Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, the All Bosses Run by Jaxler. And then Thursday night, starting at about 7:50 p.m. Eastern or 4:50 p.m. Pacific, Super Metroid GT Classic by Ryan Ford. And then after that, the Arcade Rhythm Arcade Showcase, My DX Prism Plus, Star Rod Kirby 86 and Kirby Catcher, and probably more Kirbys will be on that. That is actually in person. They have been working quite some time with the tech people, the stream tech people over at GDQ, and the arcade operator that is bringing it. And because there's an arcade on site with pinball, which they've just announced the pinball that's going to be there. So I'll get to play some pinball from all spans of from all different eras there. But they're going to have, I think they've got five MyMy, or no, I think they've got two MyMy cabinets. They're only bringing the one up on stage. They have two MyMy cabinets actually there. They've got multiple Waka cabinets. And so it's a rhythm game heaven for a week. And it's open 24 hours for like an entire week. It's great. I go down there at like 3 a.m. when nobody else is there. And that's when I get my like F-Zero on. And I'll play these rhythm games, you know, when people who don't know what they're doing aren't watching. In terms of the pinball, because I'm probably not taking my camera, so I'm not going to be taking video. But let's see. The pinball that's going to be on site, Hook, The Mario, Super Mario Brothers, the Blue Edition. I don't know if that's different. Like, there's two different versions of the Gottlieb 1992 Super Mario Brothers. There's one that's a bigger edition than the other. I've played the actual, like, full-size edition. They usually have that at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and that is interesting because that is the first time Charles Martinet ever voiced Mario was in that pinball game. This was a couple years before we first heard him in a video game. Embryon, let's see here, Viper Knight Driving, Swords of Fury, Last Action Hero, Revenge from Mars, Foo Fighters, it's the only modern one on the list, Rescue 911, Special Forces, and we don't know which Star Wars cabinet. It just says Star Wars. It's not a very pinball-friendly list, but those are the pinball games that are going to be there on site for the people who are there, and there is on-site registration if you are in the Pittsburgh area. It is a lot, and it's like over $100. But you can sign up on site and, you know, sit in the stream room and be there in the audience for some of these amazing runs. Or you can just watch it on Twitch and support and donate. It's Prevent Cancer Foundation is the charity for Awesome Games Done Quick. And if you do donate and you want your stuff read on the air, don't mention me and don't mention the host, because we're not allowed to read those donations. You can still send it. I will read it to myself and then promptly put it away. So... Esther and Matt's going to be likely driving down to MAGFest while I'm here on Thursday. And yeah, so that's the other thing. It's right on top of MAGFest. And there are actually a lot of people that do both. They'll go to GDQ for the first part of the week, and then they will swap over and do MAGFest, because there's a whole speedrunning marathon at MAGFest as well. So there will be people that'll be at GDQ, and then they go down to MAGFest and work MAGFest, which is the name of their speedrunning marathon. So... that's where I'm going to be next week. So the next time that we will be here on VOG Network will be the 11th of January. Now, one of the other things I've been doing recently this week, and I've got one more time on this, but I've been doing it for the past couple of days, is there's a restream, English restream of RTA in Japan, Winter 2025. RTA in Japan is Japan's largest speedrunning marathon. It is taking place right now in person. And it is benefiting Doctors Without Borders. And now, if you've probably been like, where have I heard that before? Where have you heard RTA in Japan before? Well, this is the same group that made headlines on a couple months ago for their summer 2025, where they removed all of the Nintendo games off the schedule, because in Japan, Nintendo has very specific broadcast guidelines, and you have to go through a very special process to be able to stream Nintendo games in a commercial aspect, which RTA in Japan, being a company, they have moved away from hobbyist territory into an actual legitimate company, and they could not get those licenses in time for the summer marathon. Well, I am, you know, happy to report that the Winter Marathon absolutely does have Nintendo licenses. They have worked with Nintendo, and they have gone through the several months process of getting permission for each of the games that they are showing from the Nintendo library. So they are they are on the air. And what are they showing now? Let's see. So there is an English restream, which basically, because the event's all in Japanese, there are people that will, there's an English restream of it, which also does mean that, you may or may not get somebody who knows what they're talking about with the game. So right now, this very moment, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, All Dungeons is being run. And they're even using, it looks like, I think they're using the official, the Game Boy Link functionality. So, you know, it's on the GameCube, but then they've got their Game Boy hooked up at the bottom, which probably gets them something. But sometimes you'll get, like, a commentator that will actually, like, explain the run. But also a lot of times, like me, it's been just the host that's been, and I'm just sitting there like, I don't know this game. So we're just going to, like, sit and, you know, and a lot of times what they actually say is that it's okay if... it's okay if there's, like, quote-unquote dead air, because the Japanese people are talking. And, you don't want to really overload it. But I have got one more shift. And in our Discord, I actually posted this in the TechSec channel, and I use Discord's ability to put in the time, and it just automatically puts in your time zone. So you look in the Discord, and you'll actually see the literal times. But the last one's going to be tomorrow night, Monday night, December 29th, from 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, until 3 a.m. Eastern, which is, I've been working until 3 a.m. And the marathon is so ahead of schedule that I'm not even sure exactly what I'm going to be hosting during. But I believe Diddy Kong Racing is still inside that block. And then Contra Operation Galuga is in that block too. But earlier I had things like, I had this Daujin last night, or no, 2 nights ago, I had this Daujin fighter that was just wild. Like, it was a boxing game. It's called Gleam of Force. And like, I have like the literal translation, but that's not actually what the game was actually called. But it's Gleam of Force, and it's this Daujin PC fighter from like 2006. A lot of it was used in Melty Blood. That's, they made this game to kind of test some things that were going to happen in Melty Blood. But it's Japanese schoolgirls in a boxing match, basically. And it was just wild to sit there and watch. And I'm like sitting here trying to read Wikipedia, or a wiki, because it's not even on Wikipedia, but like a Daujin Games wiki, to figure out like, okay, here's the story, here's who this character is, and trying to fill people in on that. And then last night I actually had this really cute Game Boy game that was made before Link's Awakening. It's localized to The Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls. It was a Game Boy game made by Intelligent Systems and Nintendo and R&D1 before they made Link's Awakening. In fact, it's the early version of the engine that became Link's Awakening. And it was this really interesting little, like, action RPG where there's no battles. Like, there are some battles, they're automatic. So you run into an enemy, and then it goes into this dust cloud, and then it basically, like, looks at your health and your weapon, and then their defense and armor. And it just plays out. So, like, you're not actually, like, once you get into a battle, you just kind of sit there and watch, unless you want to use an item or flee. And you can also turn into a frog or a snake. And so it's kind of cute. And so we kind of had fun reading about that and being like, okay, well, here's where I think we are in the story. And here's who I think this character is. So... Dark Tasia says it's the same composer. Yes, that is actually the only staff member credited on both games is the composer, Todake. And actually, one of the town themes in this game literally is like the first measure of one of the, like, the main themes in Link's Awakening. Like, I thought, I'm like, why are we listening to Link's Awakening right now? And then it changes, but he used that exact same theme. And it's not the Easter egg thing. It's actually, like, literally, like, one of the main themes that's very Link's Awakening. And so yeah, it's it was a lot of fun to do this, and I get one more shot at it. And you can join on that twitch.tv/EnglishRestream is where the restream is going on. And if you know those games, you can even sign up to commentate. Even during the game, they actually say, yeah, even if it's like the game has already started and there's no commentator and you know about the game, you can fill out the form, go into their Discord, and they will, you know, tech check you and you throw you in the room and you're going to be on the air and you can talk all about how great the game is to the audience and explain the speed run if you know the speed run strats that they're going for. So, that's what I've been doing. That's been going on this week. I believe it ends in a couple days. So, and as Sherry Matt says, sounds like a nice warm-up before GDQ. Bobby must have had a ton of notes for these games. No, I didn't. I was literally, like, Googling as the game started. I'm like, let's see what happens. Because, unfortunately, unlike restreams of Games Done Quick, which there are, like, Le French restream, there is a Japanese restream, GDQ actually has the runners provide information to those restreams about the games. RTA in Japan does not do that. They do not provide any information about the game. They do not have the runners submit anything. So it is really about, like, if somebody else in the community knows the run, they need to come in and kind of explain. And even then, they're like, I'm not familiar with the current route, or like, I don't know what this specific runner is going to do in this situation. And they're surprised at what they see. But they're able to explain it away. So it's really interesting. It's very different from a Games Done Quick, because, like, we don't have access to the donations or anything like that. So, we're not reading donations. We're not really pushing the charity. It's really, we're just accompanying chat and talking about the games, and chat's telling us things about the games, and we're just kind of hanging out together. All right. Before we get into the news, I do want to mention that we are going to be remembering someone who we lost in the past week, Vince Zampella. And this is a very influential member of the gaming industry. Even if you were not somebody that played the type of games that he was huge in creating. IGN reports that Vince Zampella, best known as the co-creator of the Call of Duty franchise and co-founder of Infinity Ward, who went on to found co-found Titanfall, Apex Legends, and Star Wars Jedi developer Respawn Entertainment, died in a single car accident in Los Angeles on last Sunday, so a week ago, according to NBC Los Angeles. He was 55 years old. According to NBC, the single car crash was reported around 12:45 p.m. on the scenic road north of Los Angeles in the San Gabriel Mountains. The southbound car veered off the road, hit a concrete barrier, and a passenger was ejected, the California Highway Patrol said. The driver was trapped in the ensuing car fire, and the driver unfortunately died at the scene. And the passenger died at the hospital. So the car was a 2026 Ferrari 296 GTS. And there was video of this, so don't look for it. Zampella was an incredibly talented game developer who changed the industry with Call of Duty, a franchise he co-created with Jason West in 2003 at Infinity Ward, the studio he co-founded with West after previously serving as the lead designer on EA's Medal for Honor Allied Assault. Zampella was at the center of a high-profile lawsuit against Activision that alleged that the publisher owed Zampella and the Infinity Ward team millions of dollars in unpaid Call of Duty royalties. The bitter professional divorce led to Zampella and West taking a substantial number of the Infinity Ward team with them to EA, where they co-founded Respawn Entertainment, a studio that has produced nothing but critically acclaimed hits like Titanfall, Titanfall 2, Apex Legends, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Respawn's success under Zampella led to him getting promoted twice, eventually overseeing the Battlefield franchise within his role as group general manager at EA. EA's statement is, quote, "This is an unimaginable loss. Our hearts are with Vince's family, his loved ones, and all those touched by his work. Vince's influence on the video game industry was profound and far-reaching. A friend, colleague, leader, and visionary creator, his work helped shape modern interactive entertainment and inspired millions of players and developers around the world. His legacy will continue to shape how games are made and how players connect for generations to come," unquote. Infinity Ward, the studio Zampella left to found Respawn, also issued a statement saying, quote, "Rest in peace, Vince. As one of the founders of Infinity Ward and Call of Duty, you will always have a special place in our history. Your legacy of creating iconic, lasting entertainment is immeasurable. Our deepest condolences to Vince's family and loved ones upon this terrible tragedy," unquote. So, even if you were not the type of person to play first-person shooters, what Vince either helped create himself or put into motion and found the right people to put through is that Call of Duty pretty much was the next evolution of multiplayer gaming after Halo. And there is a lot to be said about how Call of Duty introduced multiplayer mechanics that a lot of other first-person shooters now do. There was always the campaign, which was always kind of the Jerry Bruckheimer of video games. You know, short, sweet, lots of explosions, lots of set pieces, like an action movie. But really, Call of Duty's lasting influence has been its multiplayer. And the same with Apex Legends, is only multiplayer. And Vince had a lot to do with that, either from, the leadership creative side or putting together the team to make it happen. So whether you liked those games or not, and not everybody does, he left a mark on the video game industry, and it is ultimately sad news and deepest condolences to Vince's family and friends on this very sudden and tragic loss. So the other piece of news that I wanted to talk about before we kind of go back into, you know, hey, what are you looking forward to in 2026? Is regarding streaming service. Now, one of the things that you learn as you kind of watch a lot of these tech companies, a lot of these disruptors that bring new things to market, is that they lose money on them for quite a while. And the reason they want to lose money on them for quite a while is because they want you to figure out that you can't live without it. And then they can start raising up the fees. That is why, you know, things like Uber and Lyft, they were very, very affordable, cheaper than taxis. But Uber and Lyft were losing money hand over and fist. But it was great for the consumer. And then finally, they had to start making a profit. So they were like, well, now that we've killed the taxi industry, let's start raising the rates. And now sometimes Uber and Lyft is more expensive than a taxi. But we are now so used to the convenience of I'm just going to use an app and get in somebody's car instead of a taxi. You know, we don't mind that we're paying more, and they've kind of done it gradually. And that's kind of what's going to happen with a lot of these services. We've seen it in gaming, you know. Xbox Game Pass has been, you know, trying to ramp up the price and saying, well, now you can't live without it. And they're learning a lot of people can live without it. So NVIDIA is trying to do the same thing also because NVIDIA is really investing highly in AI. They need to get that money from somewhere. And so they're going to get it from gamers. PC Mag reports that if you use NVIDIA's GeForce Now game streaming, you may soon be limited in how long you can play for. The brand is introducing a 100-hour monthly time limit before you have to pay extra each month. So GeForce Now is a cloud-based streaming service which lets you play your own games through more powerful remote hardware. You can then stream titles to various devices, including your own computer, smart TV, smartphones, select handheld consoles, not the Switch, and VR headsets. In late 2024, NVIDIA introduced a 100-hour cap for those who signed up after January 1st, 2025. Existing subscribers were exempt for the last 12 months, but that is changing on January 1st, 2026. The brand has now updated its FAQ page on its website to talk through the new rules for almost all subscribers. If you want to play for longer, you can buy 15-hour blocks of time. $2.99 for those on the performance or previously called priority tier, while those in the top-end ultimate option pay $5.99. The performance plan costs $9.99 a month, while Ultimate costs $19.99 a month. There's also an ad-supported free tier where you can play for an hour at a time. If you don't use all of your 100 hours in a month, the service will automatically roll over 15 hours of playtime into the next period. And Dark Saga says they have been slowly advertising this stuff, you know, because they've been on it for a couple years at the Ultimate level. And also Dark Soccer says they've yet to exceed their limit, which is the actual reality that I think a lot of people are going to run into. Because I started thinking, I'm like, every single video game hour I played, if it was on GeForce Now, would I exceed my limit? And right now, this month, the answer is no. I have not played video games for 100 hours this month. I have not spent 100 hours playing video games this particular month. That's not to say I haven't ever spent 100 hours playing video games, in a month. Cause like, I remember like when a new Like a Dragon turn-based edition comes out. Yes, I can see that I've played it for a month and I have like a 110 hour playtime because I'm playing it 4 or 5 hours a night every night. But that's not normal for me. There are certain games that will do that. Pod Culture said I did with Phantasy Star Online. Absolutely. There are times like MMOs I can understand. Absolutely. 100 hours in a month is pretty easy when you're in an MMO and you're raiding and you're doing other things like that. But for probably the majority of gamers, 100 hours is a long time. There are only an average of 30 days in a month. So that's playing, you know, probably, you know, 3 hours a night. Every night, and not everybody in the world is playing their games for 3 hours a day, every day, including weekends. Some are. I'm absolutely certain there are people out there, and probably when I was younger and I had more free time, I probably did. But the majority probably are not. And so they're not going to run up against this cap. So it's kind of a non-story. It's kind of like I had, my cable internet. I had a 1 terabyte data cap, upload and download. And when I had to, when I lost my cable television because they no longer supported my devices, I switch to the unlimited tier. So I actually no longer have a data cap, but I pay extra for unlimited data through Xfinity. But they still track my usage. And so even though now I have, you know, no data cap, I have literally only surpassed the old data cap in the last year and a half that I have had the unlimited data only once. It's the only time I surpassed it. Every other time, even though now we're streaming every single bit of television that we're watching, live or not, we're doing so much more. We're streaming more 4K. I've only come across once where I would have had to have paid the one time extra to get more data. But unfortunately, like, it would have been like multiple, because I think like they only give you like 10 gigabytes. You basically pay every 10 gigabytes an extra thing. And so it was pretty far over. And, you know, a lot of, but that's also, you know, downloading big games. So I might have been one of the months that there was like 150 gig game that I downloaded to my Xbox. And that, you know, probably took me over the edge. But in terms of like streaming, we normally don't hit that cap. As Jeremy Matt said, college me did 100 hours in less than 2 weeks easy. Yeah, I probably would have. ZenMonkey11 says, I've never been a 5 hour plus gamer. I play maybe 45 minutes even when I was a kid. Longest I played was when I was playing with friends. We probably went 2 hours plus. I am normally not, unless the game is just that good. Or if it's just got that perfect loop, and I can't explain it for me. You know, like a Civilization game. Even if I haven't played it in a while, I will pick it up, and then the next thing I know, it's 7 hours later. When I do pick up The Sims, which is very not often, but when I do, I don't stop for, like, hours. If there is a game like a Persona or like a Dragon, whatever it was that those games did, absolutely I'd be there for like 5 or 6 hours at a time. But like Clair Obscur, Expedition 33 didn't hook me like that. Beautiful game, didn't hook me like that. Plucky Squire didn't hook me like that. That's why I'm only on chapter 4, even though I could have gone longer. So this is a story for the top percent of people that play a lot of games, but it's not going to really affect most people. Tire Claw says there are games that you can beat and it doesn't take that many hours, maybe 2 hours depending on the game. And you don't find that many of those that you can really beat the first time on 2 hours, especially on Steam, because then they don't make money. And it's because people like to refund games that they can beat in less than 2 hours. And you can, Steam's refund policy especially, is if you bought the game in the last 14 days and you have played it less than 2 hours, you can get a refund, no questions asked. So if somebody can beat your game in an hour and 45 minutes, they get your game for free because they buy the game, they beat it in an hour and 45 minutes, they go hit that refund button, then they get a refund, no questions asked. So that is something like game developers are now trying to figure out, like, okay, how can I make it to where my game can't be beaten by casual play in under 2 hours? Speedrun's a different thing. Also, speedrunners tend to play the game for hundreds of hours to try to get their time down. But maybe those 2 hours, maybe under 3 hours is a little bit more safe. S. Jaron Matt says, with Civilization, I was playing one more turn until I noticed, oh no, that's the sun coming up. That has happened to me way too many times. S. Jaron Matt says 2 hours of forced tutorials. Oh, like the Persona series. I think Persona 4's tutorial is like 3 hours long, I think. So yeah, so GeForce Now, it's still great. It's still a great idea, especially if you have the bandwidth to support it. Not everybody has the bandwidth to support it, especially in the rural areas. But if you have the bandwidth to support it, it actually is really great because guess what? You don't have to update. It's updated. It's on their servers. It's updated. It doesn't matter what computer you have. The game, you know, looks and performs great, and you don't have to worry about all that stuff. And that's why I believe NVIDIA has even said they're going to kind of pull back on their GPU market to concentrate on making AI chips, RAM for AI data centers, because that's kind of the new thing. That's why you can't find memory any cheap right now, because all the data centers are hogging all the memory Even Crucial, I used to get Crucial Memory a lot. They have pulled out of the consumer market because they're going to concentrate on making memory for data centers. They don't have time to deal with consumers in their own computers because in the future, we're not going to need our own computer. We're just going to have these AI data centers, and we're just going to have something that connects to them 24/7, and everything's going to be done by AI, and we're not going to need it anymore. So yeah, we're going to take actually a quick music break. The first music break I've taken all month. Because I've been talking a lot about stuff, but then, you know, there wasn't that much to talk about this week other than what we got. And so maybe we can talk a little bit more about, you know, maybe what you're looking forward to in 2026 or things that maybe are a part of the Steam Winter Sale. And because the Steam Winter Sale goes on for another week. And what you think people should play. Mike Deft will say Tunic, but there's going to be other things people will say. So after the music break, we can chat about that stuff. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Woohoo! It's a number one.
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Charles Martinet, almost 20 years ago. E3 2006 is when we recorded that. Back when I was a baby podcaster. I don't even think I was. I was 29 by that point. But I was just barely 29 by that point. But yeah, so I had that because I had set that up when I had gone to Super Nintendo World at Orlando, and we just hadn't had a music break since. But anyway, if you want to leave a bumper in the new year to the Bobby Blackwell Show, all you got to do is contact me, and I'll just take a video file of just your voice, of just you, or an audio file of just your voice. Either one's fine. I will choose what DMCA violation I want to put behind it. Because I really don't want a copyright strike on this channel. Luckily, we have zero. We have no copyright strikes. We've been on Twitch as an affiliate for 7 years. Haven't had a copyright strike. So hopefully we will keep that going in 2026. Like I said, we are also, we have a Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. If you want to jump in the green room to talk about something, we can. I wanted to mention something. Somebody had posted this in our Discord, and I wanted to mention that what it was and actually talk about it a little bit here on the show. And that is, somebody was like, hey, they finally made a VR version of Daytona, USA. And that's right, they did. And so I actually tried this. Because, you know, I like to talk about VR, and there is an entire VR experience where you can play Daytona, USA, the arcade game. Doesn't use any code from the Daytona, USA arcade game. They recreated it all by themselves, you can play it in VR. And I did try this, and if you're going to be like, am I going to get sick playing this? Yes, you probably will. So I'm just going to say that right out loud. It is not the most friendly to people who are not used to VR. So I will say that up front. But essentially what it is, it's in VR chat, which is why I was able to try it. I booted up VR chat, which I do about once every like 4 months or so. Make private instances. I don't join in with anybody else. And I look at what some of the worlds that people have created, because frankly, all this stuff, this is all just in the Unity game engine. These are all basically Unity mods that are running inside the VR chat framework. So it's not surprising that somebody who actually knows what they're doing with Unity can make stuff like a full game like this. But I tried this, and it does actually work pretty well. And the only thing is, I don't remember cornering being so hard in the arcade game. I can do the first corner just fine in this, but I cannot do the any subsequent corner. And I'm even trying to brake, and you know, I'm not just holding down the gas pedal, but I haven't figured out the actual mechanics, the driving mechanics of this variation. Once again, it doesn't use any code from the arcade version, so it's its own thing that just looks a lot like the original Daytona USA. So I just haven't figured it out yet. And the thing that I will mention is, because S. Jordan Matt says, I can see myself getting sick with this. Yes, absolutely. Now, the trailer that I was showing that is also in our, which is also in our Discord server in the Orange Lounge Radio channel, it really jumps around a whole lot. So you probably think it'll make you sick a lot more than it does. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to, because what it allows you to do, here's how it works. Here's the actual experience in VR chat. So you go into a room, there's a big screen, and it's you and your VR chat avatar, and there's actually a Daytona USA cabinet over on the right. And you can walk up to the Daytona USA cabinet, you activate it with however your VR, if you're using, you know, whatever controller you're using, you activate it, and then it teleports you into the car. Or actually, it doesn't tell, but you're in the car. You're actually, like, now kind of in a void that looks like the arcade, and that's when you pick, how many laps am I doing? Am I doing normal mode? You know, what am I doing? And then you are teleported then into the car. And you can have, it starts you off as, like, you're sitting in the car. You can see the dashboard in front of you, and it's first-person view of the car. You can move it to being two of the chase cameras, the close or the far chase camera, or the hood mode. So it's like what you would have on other things. So that doesn't necessarily make you sick. I would say maybe the chase camera would a little bit more, but if you're in the cockpit, you have an anchor point, so your brain doesn't think that you are poisoned yet. So you actually run through. Now, what they did, and this is obviously because this is a VR chat designer and not necessarily a game designer or a VR game designer, really, is that if you go pit in Daytona in this, it does bring the camera out and it flies you around, probably like what the arcade game does. And it flies you around the pit crew as they're taking off your tires, putting them back on and things like that. That is the part that could make you sick. I would say that is when VR makes you sick, is because you are not in control of that movement, yet you are flying around in the air. And so that's not good. That's not good design. I understand why they did it, and a lot of people that are in VR chat, they do have VR legs. If they spend a lot of time in VR, that doesn't bother them at all. But in this sense, if you're going in like, I'm going to install VR chat for the first time and I'm going to go play Daytona, that is something to know, is that it is not really for the VR newbie in that sense. This creator actually did, somebody mentioned Ridge Racer, actually like years ago, did kind of the same thing for Ridge Racer, and I could tell it was a proof of concept because it basically got to the you start racing and then nothing happens. But it has like kind of the UI around and it plays the music and stuff, but you can't actually drive the car. That's as far as he got in that one. So, but this is a full on like front to back, you know, all the checkpoints, game over, all that stuff. It's a very loving recreation, which there's a lot of those in VR chat, a lot of very loving recreations of things, even just kind of in pop culture. I think like there's a Kmart in VR chat that if you actually go to the server that the Kmart is on, and you go to the public server, there's actually people that literally work at the Kmart, and there are other players, and that you can converse with them and do things. There's a McDonald's that's the same way, where there are actual like literal people that work the McDonald's, and it's kind of a hangout space. It's really interesting, the ecosystem that's come around VR chat. It is the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg wanted to make. Unfortunately, VR chat made it first, and it's a bunch of furries and anime weebs are over in VR chat, which is why, unfortunately, I don't think VR chat has taken off with the mainstream. Not that, you know, I don't have any problem with any of them, any of those groups, but there are people who do, and VR chat has thoroughly embraced the anime weeb and furry community almost to a fault. And the reason the anime community has been really embraced by VR chat is because it turns out that the avatar that you can make your own avatar in VR chat. if you have like a high enough reputation level, which I actually don't, because I don't actually like participate in the community. I just go in and like lurk, which doesn't get you that. But if you can make your own avatar, it is literally the same rigging system as VTubers. So any VTuber rigging that you that VTubers use on stream can be directly imported into VR chat at, with like little to nothing. And so that's why they've really taken to VR chat, because they don't have to do a lot of work. It is very, 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 very difficult in VR chat to find normal looking people. Because I wanted to be like, I wanted my avatar to just be like a normal, like human dude. And there are not normal human dudes avatars available for free in VR chat. Game characters, sure. Anime women, absolutely. All the furries, absolutely. If you're not any of those, I did find one, but I've got like a yellow beard, like a sparkle beard or something like that. But it's about as close as I could come. Without actually, like, if I was going to be in VR chat more, I'm sure I would commission someone and actually, like, pay money, because, you know, people should be paid for their art. Commission someone to make me kind of an avatar that, like, looks more like me, which is absolutely possible. Just somebody needs to be paid to do it. And I would, if I was going to spend more time in VR chat, I would absolutely do that. Yeah, and Fifth Dream says, I know a Japanese chiptune rave musician who does concerts in VR chat. There's a lot of things like that. There's comedy shows in VR chat. A lot of professionals have been in VR chat. It is the metaverse that everybody wanted to make. VR chat made it. It's been around for years. Esther Namat says, MAGFest is in VR chat, where someone recreated the Gaylord National Convention Center, and there is a spot where VR people can go and talk to the people at MAGFest. It's pretty wild we're at this point. I know a lot of furry conventions do that as well. It's kind of cool that that's coming to MAGFest as well. And in fact, there is a, in terms of Dragon Con, it's not Dragon Con that they did this for, but, Furry Weekend Atlanta, which is a furry convention that's here in the Atlanta area, takes place in the same three main hotels that Dragon Con takes place in. And so they have actually painstakingly recreated the floor plans of those three convention hotels. And it's themed for Furry Week in Atlanta, but they have painstakingly recreated that. And you can go walk through all three hotels. And during Furry Week in Atlanta, they actually do have a mirror, or they have a live stream where it's a portal, which is probably the same thing they've got at MAGFest. It might even be like the same people doing it, where there's a portal in the VR chat world that is basically a webcam in the actual same space. They even like put it in the same space at the actual convention. So you go to that same place in the hotel, and there's one of those big LCD screens that has a portal looking into the VR chat world. And so that's probably the same thing they're doing at MAGFest. And PodCulture asks, do they have the carpet? I believe he's asking about the Marriott carpet. So Furry Week in Atlanta does not have the same cult lore that Dragon Con does, and it moved into those hotels after the carpet was changed. So it has the current carpet of the Marriott carpet, because that's their carpet for their convention. They would probably keep that whenever it gets changed, because it's not, they're not doing it for Dragon Con. It just happens to be the same area Dragon Con's in. So yeah. And Zemuck 11 says, Ready Player Me, you can make your regular dude avatar. I have a few of me. So I may, here's the thing. I just don't participate in VR chat, the communities. And it's just, that's a personal thing. Like, that's just, I've decided not to. I'm not very social, it turns out. So I go in and I, you know, create a private instance of a world that I want to check out and see what people have built. And I will spend hours in VR chat just walking through other people's worlds and other people's creations. I have no desire to actually talk to anybody in VR chat. So it is still amazing what people have created, and it's a lot of fun to go through things. And, you know, like some of the stuff they've done, there's two different people, two different creators made this, but I was just at Universal Studios Orlando a couple weeks ago. And one of my favorite rides, the old rides, was Back to the Future. Well, somebody actually did recreate the Back to the Future ride in VR chat because we have all the video files. The actual, the collector's edition Blu-ray actually has all of the video files from the Back to the Future ride. And so they basically remade the car, and, you know, they basically even recreated part of the queue. And you can go in VR chat, sit in the car, it rises up, and then it actually moves to the movie and stuff like that. You could probably get sick from it because it's moving you around and it's going to mess with your brain. Or you can, but somebody else made the Simpsons ride, which is the ride that replaced Back to the Future. It is the same ride system. There's the Back to the Simpsons one that takes you up, and you have the Simpsons movie going. And so those are kind of fun to go through. You know, if you do want to be social with people, there's a Cards Against Humanity room. People have remade Among Us in there. There's also just regular, like, tavern rooms where you sit and chat with people. There are, you know, karaoke nights and raves, and there's a lot of stuff going on in VR chat. There was, like, in the past, there's been, like, a New Year's Eve thing, and I don't know if they're doing it this year. But in the past, they've had their own, like, New Year's, like, Times Square-like thing. And, like, I think every hour, the ball dropped. So no matter what time zone you were in, you could be in there at midnight, or you could not be there in midnight and just enjoy the ball dropping at other times. And you could either have that as a private instance, which is what I did one year, or you can actually join the public instance that other people are in. So it's a really neat ecosystem to kind of play around in. I just have no desire to talk to people in it. And I can't explain why. I don't know why. S. Chernomath says, it's all we wanted PlayStation Home to be. That's right. If only Sony held on to PlayStation Home for just a couple more years. When the PlayStation VR came out, PlayStation Home, I think Sony would have beat Fortnite to the punch. Because Fortnite is, when people think of what the metaverse is in terms of, like, mainstream popularity, it's really Fortnite. Because of, like, the Lady Gaga concert. Did Lady Gaga do it? Or Ariana Grande, I think, was one of them. I can't remember if Lady Gaga did it. But, like, also, like, the Star Wars premiere going on. And, you know, that's the closest we've gotten to the metaverse that people have heard, that consumers want. I think Sony would have been kind of leading the charge had PlayStation Home still been around. Like, they had kept working on PlayStation Home from the PS3, brought it up to the PS4, and then when PlayStation VR came out, have that be the centerpiece. That would have been very, you know, Sony would have basically led the charge on that. ZenMonkey11 says, in VR chat, I became trusted very fast. Just follow me around VR chat. I will tell people you don't speak English. There's a world tour I take every Sunday and a meditation thing. You don't have to speak in those. So maybe. We'll think about it. Maybe, especially once I get the Steam Frame and I get the new VR headset. Now, I will say, one of the things I got for Christmas, my wife pulled it off my wish list, is because MameFan in our Discord, because I have a PlayStation VR 2 headset. But I was like, I could get the PC adapter, but I don't have Bluetooth on my motherboard. He's like, look, this is the exact Bluetooth adapter you're going to want, because sometimes people's motherboards Bluetooth don't work well with that. And so I had it on my Amazon wish list, so I got it for Christmas. So I have the Bluetooth adapter now, so I can go, you know, get the PC adapter for the PlayStation VR 2 and hook it up to my PC. And I will say, because of I changed my name in VR chat, just because I, even though, like, my name that I go by online is Bobby Blackwolf, I'm actually not a furry, which I have no problem with people being furries, but that's not why I chose the name. I didn't know furries existed when I chose that name. It is not my real last name, but it's the one that I chose 30-something years ago. And then I learned about furries, like, 10 years later, and by then it was too late. So I don't actually go by that, but for a little bit I did, and I used, like, a free name change to be able to, like, change my name. Because I don't want to go in there and have people think that I'm part of, like, I'm a part of the furry fandom, because I'm not, and I don't think that's fair to them. So I go by, like, somewhat of a different name in VR chat, just to kind of hide the fake name and not try to present myself as something that I'm not, because that's not fair. Not fair to them. Esther and Matt says they were really tight on licensed material on PlayStation Home. I remember there were times talking about doing movie nights in PS Home, but couldn't do it because Sony put the kibosh on many movies being shown in the TV in people's homes. I feel like you could only watch Spider-Man. And VR chat absolutely took that. VR chat, what they've done in VR chat is there, somebody has made an actual like video player, and you can put in a URL. A lot of times people use Twitch, but I'm pretty sure YouTube works as well. And you can even have it sync the time, like the host of the room can sync the time. So everybody, even though everybody has their own connection to YouTube or their own connection to Twitch inside this, everybody's synced up at the same time. So it's actually, it's kind of cool. So you can actually have watch parties, and one of the worlds is like this festival world that I keep, that I have, because they show all the GDQs and they have like GDQ posters around and stuff. And during GDQ, that room is open for people to come in, and GDQ's up on the thing and everybody's talking to each other. And that is the one time I joined a VR chat room with other people, and it was not fun, but I think it was just because it was a large event, and there were like, they were even saying you need to like change your settings because like your computer will overheat if you don't change the rendering settings and things like that. So VR chat at the time, this was a couple of years ago, was not optimized for rooms that had a lot of people in them. But anyway, that's it for me. I will be back in 2 weeks. We're going to play some marbles on stream right after this. Last marbles of 2025. So stick around for that. I will be back in 2 weeks after GDQ. I land, my plane lands at like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then, you know, I got to drive all the way back across Atlanta, which Atlanta is 2 hours away from Atlanta. I get back in at like 5 o'clock. 3 hours later, I'll be on the air with you talking about AGDQ. And talking about anything that happened in the gaming industry over the next 2 weeks. You can also join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. Keep me abreast of things that happen, because, you know, what happens is when you are out of your normal area, you know, if you're like on vacation or you are on a business trip or anything like that, you tend to not keep up with everything as much as you would when you are at home. So that's when you can help. So you can join our Discord server, fognetwork.com/discord. More information about that. They'll also be posting up there when I'm going to be on GDQ. If there's anything that changes there, or on my Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, or on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf, and maybe TikTok at BobbyBlackWolf. I don't know yet. Probably going to be doing more with Instagram in 2026, just because it's probably the smart thing to do. So you can also find us over at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. And we had a couple of people hit some streaks, so thank you so much. A 10 watching of a stream streak. Congrats, Orange Wright, Fifth Dream, and Tiger Claw. Estes, Share One Under Matt, also resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. I know we had a bunch of people resubscribe last week, so it is very, very much appreciated. We're going to do some marbles next. We're going to play some marbles on the stream once I hit this button and get us out of here. I will see you in 2 weeks. Please celebrate the new year responsibly. I want you to have as many fingers and toes in 2026 as you do in 2025. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.